The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, second chapter, text number 62 through 72, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on December 19, 1968, in Los Angeles.
And from such attachment, love develops, and from love, anger arises. For what? One who is not Krishna conscious is subjected to material desires while contemplating the objects of senses. The senses require real engagement, and if they are not engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, they will certainly seek engagement in the service of materialism.
Yes, here is the secret of yoga system. Yoga indriya samyama. The real purpose of yoga is to control the senses. Our material activities mean to engage the sense in some particular objective or enjoyment. That is our material engagement. And yoga system means that you have to control the senses and detach the senses from material enjoyment or material pleasure and pain and divert it, focusing towards seeing the super soul Vishnu within yourself. That is the real purpose of yoga. Yoga does not mean, of course, in the beginning there are defined rules and regulations, sitting posture, just to bring the mind under control. But they are not end themselves. The end is to stop the material engagement and begin spiritual engagement. So, here it is explained. Go on, reading.
In the material world, everyone, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to say nothing of other demigods in the heavenly planet, is subjected to the influence of sense objects.
Sense objects, yes.
Sense objects. And the only method to get out of this puzzle of material existence is to become Krishna conscious.
It is learned from Vedic literature that, of course, they are showing us Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. They are also sometimes attracted by sense objects. Just like Lord Brahma, his daughter Saraswati. Saraswati is considered to be the most perfect form of beauty, womanly beauty, Saraswati. So, Lord Brahma became enchanted by the beauty of his daughter. Just to show us the example that even personalities like Lord Brahma sometimes become enchanted. This maya is so strong. He forgot that she is my daughter. Then, to penance this, Brahma had to quit the body. These stories are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Lord Shiva also, when Krishna appeared before him in Mohini Murti, Mohini means the most enchanting, beautiful, womanly form. Lord Shiva also became mad after her. So, wherever she was going, Lord Shiva was chasing. And it is stated that while chasing Mohini Murti, Lord Shiva had discharged it. So, these examples are there. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Daividhisa Gunamai Mamamaya Durattaya. The whole material energy is enchanting every one of us by this beauty, the womanly beauty. Actually, there is no beauty. It is illusion. Shankaracharya says that you are after this beauty, but have you analyzed this beauty? What is the beauty? Itadanam raktamansa vikaram. It is just like our student Govindadasi and Naranara and molding plaster of Paris. At this time there is no attraction. But this plaster of Paris, when it will be nicely painted, it will be so attractive. Similarly, this body is combination of blood and muscles and veins. If you cut the upper portion of your body, as soon as you see inside, it is all obnoxious, horrible things. But outwardly so painted by the illusory color of Maya, it is very attractive. And that is attracting our senses. This is the cause of our bondage. We are being bound up by some false illusory beauty of this world. Mirage. The exact example is mirage. What is mirage? Reflection of the sunlight on the desert appears like water. Where is water there? There is no water. The animal, thirsty animal, is after the mirage. Here is water. I will be satisfied. Similarly, we are hankering after, running after the mirage. There is no peace, there is no happiness. Therefore, we have to divert our attention back to God. Don't run after this mirage. Just turn back to God, back to Krishna. That is our propaganda. Don't divert your attention, don't engage your senses in the illusory material beauty. Just apply your senses to Krishna, the real beautiful. That is Krishna consciousness.
Lord Shiva once was in deep meditation, but when the beautiful lady, Parvati, agitated with his sense pleasure, he agreed to propose, and as a result, Kartikeya was born.
Here is Kartikeya present. Yes. Hare Krishna, go on.
When Haridas Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord, he was similarly allured by the incarnation of Maya Devi.
Now here is the difference. Lord Shiva, he is the greatest of the demigods. He was also allured by Parvati and as a result of that attraction, this boy, Kartikeya, was born. That was the, what is called, conspiracy of the demigod, that unless one son is born out of the semina of Lord Shiva, it is impossible to conquer the demons. So Kartikeya is considered the commander-in-chief of the demigods. But here another example. Haridas Thakur was young boy, about 24 years old, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, and the landlord in that village, he was very much envious of Haridas Thakur. He conspired and engaged one prostitute to defy him. So the prostitute agreed, and at dead of night, a very beautiful dress, and she was young, and tried to captivate Haridas Thakur. But he was not captivated. That is the difference. A Krishna conscious person, even an ordinary person, not in the level of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, he is never conquered by Maya. But one who is not fully in Krishna consciousness, either he may be Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, he will be conquered by Maya. What to speak of others? This is the position. Go on. When Haridas Thakur was a young devotee of the Lord,
he was soon allured by the incarnation of Maya Devi. But Haridas easily passed the test because of his unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. A sincere devotee of the Lord learns to hate all material sense enjoyment due to his higher taste of spiritual enjoyment in the association of the Lord. That is the secret of success.
Parang Dishtani Vattati. Parang, if you get better things, you give up inferior quality things. That is our nature. Just like our students, American students, they were all accustomed to meat eating. But now, another student, she is preparing the sweet ball, his corn ball, and they are forgetting meat eating. They do not like anymore meat eating. They have got better engagement, sweet ball. Similarly, that is the way. When you get better engagement, we are hankering after pleasure. Anandamaya Vyasa. Every living entity is seeking after pleasure. That is its nature. You cannot stop. If you stop, just like a child is seeking after some enjoyment, he is breaking something. Enjoyment. But he does not that he is breaking, but he is simply enjoying that breaking. Similarly, we do not know what is enjoyment in this material concept of life. We are breaking and building. In your country, I have seen several places. Nice building is dismantled. And again, in that very place, another building is raised. Breaking and building. Breaking and, this building is old. Breaking. The same childish place. You see? Simply wasting engagement, the valuable time of this human. Breaking and building, breaking and building. This motor car is useless. Another 69 model. And thousands of people are engaged in that 69 model. You see? What is that? In a sense, the breaking and building. Breaking and building, just like the child. You see? So unless one has got better engagement, Krishna consciousness, surely they will be engaged in this breaking and building. Breaking and building. Childish and building. Param Dishtani Vattati. So far, our students of Krishna consciousness, they are trying to get 2 hours more than 24 hours. There were so many engagements. So unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he must be in the Maya's engagement. Same thing. People may eulogize such engagement. He is so money's man. He has dismantled such nice building and again constructed another nice building. So this is very nice in material estimation. But in spiritual estimation, they're simply wasting time. Hari Hari Bi Phale Janama Gwainu, that song. Manusya Janama Paiya Radha Krishna Nam Hariya Janiya Suniya Bishakhainu. Knowingly, purposefully, I'm drinking poison. Poison. Why poison? Wasting time of this valuable human form of life is drinking poison. Just like a man drinks poison, he does not know what is his next life. He's going to become a ghost. For years together, he'll not have this material body as punishment. You have seen, Gaurisundar has written one ghost article in our Back to Godhead in England, that ghost who fought with Cromwell, there is still fighting. At night there is sound of fighting going on. So, poison means this human formal life is the chance to get into Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. But if we do not engage in this Krishna consciousness, simply engage in this breaking and constructing, then we are simply drinking poison. That means next life, I'll be thrown into the cycle of birth and death in the 88,400,000 species of life, and my life is spoiled. We do not know for how many millions of years I'll have to travel in that cycle of birth and death. Therefore it is poison. Janiya suniya bishokhan. I know this. I'm hearing. Still. Janiya suniya bishokhan. That's like a thief. Janiya suniya. These words are very significant. Janiya means knowing and suniya means hearing. So, habituated thief, he knows that if I steal, I shall be put into jail. And he has heard from scriptures that don't steal, then he will be put into hell. So, he has heard from the scriptures and he has seen practically, he has experienced practically, but still as soon as he's freed from the prison life, again comes the same mistake. Janiya suniya bishakhain. So we know, we are hearing from the scriptures, from authorities, Vedic literature, that I have got this miserable conditional body, material body, to suffer threefold some material miseries. Still, I am not very much anxious how to stop this repetition of birth and death. I am drinking poison. Janiya suniya bishakhain. Hari Hari Bi Phale Janamagam. These songs are very instructive. Simply, purposefully, we are drinking poison.
One who is not there for Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling his senses by artificial repression, is sure ultimately to fall. For the slightest thought of sense pleasure will drive him to gratify his desire. 63. From anger, delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool.
Our position is, we are constituted of this body. Body means the senses. And the controller of the senses are the, what is called, driver of the senses is the mind. And mind is conducted thinking, feeling and willing, the psychology, the science of psychology. That is being conducted under intelligence. And above the intelligence, I am sitting. I am a spirit soul. So, how we become a victim of this Maya. That is described here. That from anger, delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment, from memory, I have forgotten completely that I am not this body. I am spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. I am part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman, spirit, absolute whole, that I have forgotten. And when memory is bewildered, and as soon as I forget that I am spirit soul, I identify myself with this material world, illusion. Intelligence is lost. I should have used my intelligence to conduct the activities of the mind, thinking, feeling and willing. And because my mind is not controlled, my senses are not controlled, therefore I am fallen. This is the analysis of the whole bodily construct. Go on.
54. One who can control his senses by regulated principles and who is free from attachments and aversions can attain the mercy of God.
Yes. We have fallen down. How we have fallen down? We have fallen down to the platform of sense enjoyment. Therefore, we have to begin rising up from the senses, controlling of the senses. That is the way of self-realization. Either you practice yoga or practice bhakti, devotional service. The beginning is to control the senses. So the yogis and other methods, they are trying to control the senses by force. I shall go to the Himalayas. I shall not see any more beautiful woman. I shall close down my eyes. These are forceful. You cannot control your senses. There are many instances. You don't require to go to Himalaya. You just remain in Los Angeles city and engage your eyes to see Krishna. You are more than a person who has gone to Himalaya. You'll forget all other things. This is our part. Don't require to change your position. You engage your ear for hearing Bhagavad Gita as it is. You'll forget all nonsense. You engage your eyes to see the beauty of the deity, Krishna. You engage your tongue for tasting Krishna prasada. You engage your legs to come to this temple. You engage your hands to work for Krishna. You engage your nose to smell the flowers offered to Krishna. Then where your senses will go? It's captivated all along. The perfection is sure. You don't require to control your senses forcibly. Don't see it, don't do it, don't do it. No, you have to change the engagement, the status. That will help you. Go on.
First of all, it is already explained that one may externally control the senses by some artificial process. But unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is every chance of a fall. Although the person in full Krishna consciousness may apparently be on the sensual plane, actually, because of his being Krishna conscious, he has no attachment to or detachment from such sensual activities. The Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. Therefore, he is transcendental for all attachments or detachments. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinarily undesirable. And if Krishna does not want, he will not do anything which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. Therefore, to act or not to act is within his control because he acts only under the dictation of Krishna. This consciousness is the cause of mercy of the Lord, which the devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached to the sensual life. 65. For one was so situated, the threefold miseries of material life exist no longer. In such a happy state, one's intelligence is steady. 66. One who is not in transcendental consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor steady intelligence. Without this, there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? 57.
Well, everyone in this material world, they are after peace. But they don't want to control the senses. It is not possible. Just like you are diseased and doctor says that you take this medicine, you take this diet, but you cannot control. You are taking anything you like against the instruction of the physician, then how you can be cured? Similarly, we want cure of the chaotic condition of this material world. We want peace and prosperity. But we are not ready to control the senses. We do not know how to control the senses. We do not know the real yogic principle of controlling the senses. So there is no possibility of peace. Kuto shanti ajukta. The exact word is there in the Bhagavad Gita. If you are not engaged in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. Artificially, you may try for it. It is not possible. Go on.
57. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even so, one of the senses in which the mind becomes sick can carry away a man's intelligence.
Yes. If you suppose on the Pacific Ocean you are on a boat or on a nice sea, but if you have no controlling capacity, one wave of that Pacific Ocean can immediately bring you to the bottom of the sea. So this is required. We are in the midst of the Pacific Ocean of this mic world. Samsara Samudra. It is called Samudra. So at any moment, our boat can be topsy-turvy if we have no controlling power. Yes.
58. Therefore, O mighty arm, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly a steady intelligence.
Yes. Now, the one whose senses are restrained. This human life is meant for restraining the senses. Tapas. This is called tapasya, penance. Suppose I am habituated to some type of sense gratification. Now I take to Krishna consciousness. My spiritual master or the scripture says, don't do this. So in the beginning, I may feel some inconvenience. But if you can tolerate that, that is tapasya. That is tapasya. Tapasya means I am feeling some inconvenience bodily, but I am tolerating. And that is called tapasya. And this human form of life is meant for that tapasya. Not that because my senses are demanding this satisfaction, I shall immediately offer. No. I shall train myself in such a way that my senses may demand, my dear sir, give me this facility. I will say, no, you cannot have. This is called Goswami or Sami. At the present moment, we have made our Sami or master, the senses, and when you actually become the master of the senses, then you are Sami. Or Goswami. That is the significance of Swami and Goswami. It is not the dress. One who has controlling power, one who is not dictated by the senses, one who is not servant of the senses, My tongue is dictating, please take me to that restaurant. And eat sticks. What is that stick? Sticks? Steak? What is that spelling? So anyway, or that fried chicken.
Yes.
So tongue is dictating me. But if you can control your tongue, no, I'll give you sweet balls. Don't go there. Then you become master of the sense. The others are trying, they don't go there only. Oh, that is impossible. The tongue must have something beautiful. Otherwise it is not possible. That is artificial. If the tongue, you give him something more beautiful than this fried cheek or stick or this or that, it is stopped. That is the policy. Our policy is that. We can give casein fried with rice. How nice it is. We'll forget meat eating. So this is the policy, Krishna consciousness. All the senses should be supplied something, not artificially stop it. That is not possible. That is not possible. Others, they are simply trying artificially to stop the function of the senses. No, that is not possible. Our policy is tatparatena nirmalam. You can purify the activities of the senses being engaged in Krishna consciousness. Then senses will not disturb you. If you want to control the senses, you have to control the tongue first of all. Then you will be able to control other senses very easily. So you give tongue the engagement of chanting Hare Krishna, and for tasting Krishna prasadam, you will find that your other senses are already controlled. This is the key of controlling our senses, the tongue. And if you give privilege and indulgence to the tongue, you'll never be able to control our senses. This is the secret of controlling senses. Wow.
69. What is nice for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective stage. First of all, there are two classes of intelligent men. The one is intelligent in material activities, the sense gratification, and the other is introspective and awake, the cultivation of self-realization. Activities of the introspective stage or thoughtful man are night for persons materially absorbed. Materialistic persons remain asleep during such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. The introspective stage, however, remains alert in that night of the materialistic man.
Night means when people sleep, and day means when they are awake. This is the understanding of day and night. So, one, the materialistic person, they are sleeping in the matter of spiritual understanding. So, therefore, the activities which we find in daytime of the materialistic person, actually that is night. For the spiritualistic person, they see that these people, they got the facility of self-realization, this human form of life, how they are wasting by sleeping. And the materialistic person, they are saying, these Krishna conscious young boys, they have given up everything and they are chanting Hare Krishna, how nonsense they are sleeping. See? So in the vision of the materialistic person, these activities are night, sleeping. And for the self-realized person, these activities are sleep. Just the opposite. They are seeing the Krishna conscious person as wasting time. And the Krishna conscious person is seeing them as wasting time. This is the position. God.
Such deities feel transcendental pleasure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activity, being asleep or self-realization, dreams of arriving in the sense pleasure.
Yes, they're dreaming. Now we shall do this. Next time I shall have this. Next time I shall have this. Next time I shall kill that enemy. Next time I shall do this. They are planning like that. Go on.
Feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in this living condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress.
The introspective man is after self-realization and he knows very well. Suppose if I do in future such and such big business, such I can construct such big skyscraper house. But because he's introspective, he knows that what I shall do with all these things. As soon as I exit from the platform, everything remains here. And I take another form of body, begins another life. That is introspection. The materialistic person, they cannot understand what is the future. They are thinking this body is everything. We have got this body and when it is finished for all. These questions we have already discussed. But actually it is not. This is the first understanding of self-realization, that soul is eternal, it is not annihilated even after the annihilation of this body. This is the beginning of self-realization. So these people, they do not understand it. They don't care for it. That is their sleeping. That is their miserable condition.
He goes on with his self-realization activity undisturbed by material reactions. 7. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires.
Now, here is a materialistic person. He has his desire. Suppose he is doing some business. He is getting money. So he fulfills his desire in materialistic way. But a Krishna conscious person, suppose he is doing in the same way, he is also planning, doing something after Krishna consciousness. So these two different spheres of activities are not on the same level. Go on.
71. A person who has given up all desires of sense gratification, who lives free from desire, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of all ego, he alone can attain real peace.
Yes. The person who has given up all desires for sense gratification. We haven't got to kill our desire. How you can kill? Desire is constant companion of a living entity. That is the living symptom. Because I am living entity, you are living entity, you have got desire, I have got desire. Not this table. The table has no life, therefore it has no desire. The table cannot say that I am standing here for so many months, please move me to some other place. No, because it has no desire. But if I am sitting here for 3 hours, I got tired. Please remove me from, please get me another place. So desire must be there because we are living. We have to change the engagement of desire. If we engage our desire for sense gratification, that is material. But if we engage our desire for acting on behalf of Krishna, that is free from all desire. This is the fact.
That is the way of the spiritual and godly life. After attaining this humanity, being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Of course, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births.
Several times there were questions. How long it will take to become Krishna conscious? I have also answered that in a second it can be done. The same thing is being explained. Go on.
It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katvamsa Maharaj attained the state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna. Nirvana means ending the process of materialistic life. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after this material life. But the Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But the person who is spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic one. Therefore, before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, certainly he has once attained the state of Brahman Nirvana. There is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord. Since both of them are on the absolute plane, to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, attainment of Krishna consciousness, even during this life, is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the content for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga,
Jnana Yoga,
Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Sutra, the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the matter of expansion.
Thank you. Many questions? Yes.
I've always been confused as to, understand me that a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur would not fall victim to my daily temptations, but even Lord Rama, Lord Shiva, might fall victim. I always thought that they were pure devotees of the Lord.
No. They are pure devotees, but their gunavatar. Just like Lord Brahma is the supreme personality within this material universe. He is the father of all living entities. So, they are, of course, if we very scrutinizingly study, Haridas Thakur is in devotional service in greater position than Brahma. Although he is considered the incarnation of Brahma, Brahma Haridas. So, we should not be disturbed when we see Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, he is captivated in that way. We should take this instruction that if Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva becomes victim of Maya sometimes. So what to speak of us? Therefore we shall be very, very careful. There is chance of fall down even in the status of Brahma and Shiva. What to speak of ordinary person? Therefore, we should be very strongly inclined to Krishna consciousness, like Haridas Thakur, then we shall be able very easily to overcome the allurement of Maya. That is to be understood. Not that Brahma showed that, weakness. He is weak or he is less. No. That is for our instruction. Yes. First of all, these. Yes.
It is said that once you achieve the Godhead, once you go back to Krishna, that you don't fall down. But it is also said that we come from there originally. And if we came from there, how do we fall? We are already there.
Yes. Yeah, just like this example, that personality is like Brahma and Shiva, they also sometimes become victims of Maya. So, potency of falling down is always there. Potency. And because we are part and parcel of God, and because we are now in the material world, it is to be understood that we have fallen down. But you cannot trace out the history when you have fallen down. That is impossible. But our position is marginal. At any moment we can fall down. That tendency is there. Therefore we call marginal. It is very simple to understand. Everyone is prone to fall disease. Is it not? Now when you are diseased, there is no necessity of finding out the history when you become diseased. Your disease makes your treatment. Yes, sir. Similarly, we are in the material condition of life, just gone treating it. And as soon as you are cured, be careful not to fall down again. But there is chance of falling down, again becoming diseased. Not that because you once become cured and there is no chance of becoming diseased again. There is chance. Therefore we shall be very much careful. Yes.
Brahma is
the second spiritual master, but I thought that this one, all spiritual master, lives forever, but Brahma didn't live forever. Yes, we live forever. We change our body, we do not die. You live forever, I live forever. And death means we change this body, that's all. Just like you change your dress. When you change your dress, it does not mean that you die. Similarly, change of this body does not mean actually death. Or to appear in a different body does not mean actually birth. There is no birth or death of the living entity. But the change of body is taking place in our material condition. That is taken as birth and death. Actually, there is no birth and death. Yes?
For one who worships Lord Buddha, is there a time for him to go to? For one who worships Lord Buddha,
yes.
In the Bhakti Dhan, some kind of devotional service,
yes, there is a neutral space. That is not planet. There is a marginal position between the spiritual world and the material world. But one has to come down again. unless one enters into the spiritual sky and takes his situation in some of the spiritual planets. Just like you fly in the sky, unless you get some planet, you'll have to come down again. You cannot fly all the days in the sky. That is not possible. That is neutral state. Neither in other planet nor in this planet. Flying. How long you shall fly? You have to take some shelter. But if you have no shelter in the higher planet, then or higher situation, then you shall have to come down. The same example can be repeated. Suppose if you go in the outer space, just like the Sputnik man, they go sometimes. People think, where he has gone, so high. But he has not gone anywhere, he's coming down again. So it is false, clapping, he has gone so high. What is the use of going so high? You are coming down next moment. Because you have no power to enter into another planet. So what your machine, this Sputnik or this plane will do help you? You have to come down again. Rather you shall fall down in some Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean, somebody will go and pick you up. Mm-hmm. This is your position. So the boy doesn't mean to fly in the sky and be puffed up, I have come so high. That policeman does not know how long he will keep in that high position, you see. He will come down. This is Maya's attraction. He will have to come down. That is, there is a verse in it. Janne ravindakha vimukta manina tayyasta bhavad abhishuddha buddhaya arujyatichena parang padang tata patanti adha anadritajasmadanghaya. This is a prayer by Pundan Maharaj. He says, my dear Lord, Lotus Eyed Aravindaka, Je Anne, some third class men, they are very much proud of ending this material life, this Nirvana or this impersonalism. Vimukta Manina. Vimukta Manina, they are simply falsely thinking that they have surpassed the clutches of Maya. Falsely. Vimukta Manina. Just like if you falsely think that I am the proprietor of this Los Angeles city, is it not your false thinking? Similarly, if anyone thinks that now I have attained Nirvana or I have merged into the Supreme. You may think like that. That Maya is very strong. You may be puffed up by such false prestige. Vimukta Mani, no? Bhagavad says, Tai Asta Bhavas Abhisuddha Buddhaya. But because they have not searched out your lotus feet, therefore their consciousness is impure. Thinking I am something. Abhisuddha Buddha, their intelligence, consciousness is not purified. Therefore, Ariya Kichena, they perform very severe practice. That's like the Buddhists, they have got very. Now, those are not practicing, that is different thing, but rules and things, there is Lord Buddha himself, his soul. He left his everything and became engaged in simply meditation. Who is doing that? Nobody is doing that. Shankaracharya's first condition is that first of all you take sannyas, then you talk of becoming Nara. Who is taking sannyas? So they are simply falsely thinking. Actually, their intelligence is impure. Consciousness is impure. Therefore, in spite of such endeavorance, the result is Arujya Krishna Param, although they go very high, say 25,000 miles or millions of miles up, they do not find any shelter. Where is moon, planet, where is sunshine, they come down again to a Moscow city, let's say, or New York City, that's all. These are the examples. When they're high up, they take photographs, this planet is so, this actually planet is so green and so smart, I'm going down day and night and seeing in 1 hour, 3 times day and night. All right, very good. Please come down. That's all. Maya is so strong, she will say, yeah, very good. You are very advanced in your scientific knowledge. But please come down. Come here. Otherwise, you are going to be put into the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, sir. And they will still be puffed up. Oh, you are making progress. Within next 10 years, you can purchase tickets or land in the moon. You know, in Russia they sold land. And they advertised that there is Sea of Moscow. We have plants or flags on the sea. These are propaganda. They cannot go even into the nearest planet for to speak of the spiritual sky. If you actually serious of going to the spiritual sky and Vaikuntha Loka, then take this simple method, Hare Krishna. That's all. This is the gift of Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahamadanaya. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, you are the greatest of all charitable persons. Because you are offering the greatest boon, Krishna Prema Pura. You are offering love of Krishna, which will get me to the kingdom of Krishna. This is the greatest gift to the human society. But the foolish person, they do not understand it. What can be? They with this agony, the Maya is very strong. If we say that here is a small booklet, easy journey to other planet, they will not take it. They'll make plan of how to go to another planet by Sputniks. It is impossible. You cannot go anywhere. That is your condition life. Condition means you must stay here. You must stay here. Who is allowing to go other planet? For coming to take the permanent visa of your country, I have to fight so much. And you are going to moon planet, there is no visa. They will allow you only to enter. It is so easy thing. But they foolishly think that simply I am the monarch of all I serve. That's all. This planet is the monarch and all other planets, they are all subservient. They will satisfy our senses. This is foolish thing. All right, chant Hare Krishna.